Hello, I'm Pastor Rick, and welcome to our podcast. I hope that the message that you're about to hear will bless and encourage you today.
We're in the middle of a series called Power Encounters, the Works of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Next week being Baptism Sunday, I'm going to take at least 1 week off of this series. And so possibly 2 weeks I'm going to take off, I don't know. But for today, we're going to continue in Power Encounters, the Works of the Holy Spirit in Acts. And kind of as a general verse, Acts chapter 2, verse 43 says this, and this is what the early church was like: a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. A deep sense of awe came over all of them. That's the people that were coming to join this new church. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Miracles, signs, wonders, healings were a normal part of the early church. There are places in the world, there are places in the United States where miracles, signs, wonders, and healings are becoming a normal part of the activity of the church. Testimonies on almost a weekly basis are being shared of bodies healed, people delivered and set free. Church, that is my desire, my prayer for right here, right now. Okay, two of you, I'm sure you'll be at prayer meeting tonight then. That's what we're praying for. I know it's your desire too. I've talked to you individually. This week, the subtitle is His Healing and Miraculous Power. His Healing and Miraculous Power. That's what we're going to talk about. So, get your Bible, Acts chapter 3. Book of Acts, chapter 3. We're not going to finish the chapter. We're only going to look at 11 verses this morning. The 11 verses are going to take me all the time that I have and hopefully not too much time extra, but we will see. I'm going to try and get us out on time. The story that we're going to see today is a story that Luke captured, and I believe under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because in general, at the end of chapter 2, it said, and they saw many signs and wonders and miracles and healings. And then Luke focuses on one. This one was so extraordinary. It was so astounding to the people of that day and to us that I believe the Holy Spirit had Luke captured this story so we could all go, whoa, look what God can do. I wonder if Luke possibly did not meet this man, because Luke was writing not that long after this happened, 10, 15 years. It's possible Luke met this man, and if Luke didn't meet this man individually, Luke probably met people that knew him or were there the day the miracle happened. And so let's see what took place. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Now I'm going to stop for a second. A man lame from birth. Later in chapter 4, and that'll be a few weeks, so I'll just tell you, it lets us know that this man was more than 40 years old. Pastor Evan, how old are you? 26. Put another 15 years on you. Can you imagine in your entire life never having walked? And you're more than 40 years old. As a child, you would have to fully be carried. While your other siblings were on their feet walking, you were dragging yourself across the floor. You were being carried. As you became a teenager, you were not going to do what other teenagers do. More than likely, even as a teenager, you were taken someplace to beg. You would never have an occupation. There would be nothing that you could do, so you had the occupation of begging. Imagine more than 40 years of never having walked. Imagine having lived over 40 years and looking down the road, maybe another decade, maybe another 2 decades, maybe only another couple of years, hard to say. Life expectancy wasn't as long. But as you're looking at your future, all you can see, have you ever thought about it? I was thinking about this. Cameras, you're going to have to follow me. But if this is ground level, and this is where I am, and the best I can get is this high, I'm seeing kneecaps most of the day long. I'm seeing people's dirty feet. I'm seeing what's down on the ground. When I need to talk to somebody, unless they're going to come down to my level, I'm going to have to be looking up at them. For 40 years, this is my life. The only time that I'm ever up this high or was up this high was when somebody would carry me or hold me, or possibly when I would be put into a chair, I could at least see. My world as a beggar was in the dirt. That's how I lived, and that is all that I could expect for my future, was to be in the dirt on my beggar's mat. Let's go back to the text now, as you can try and get this in your imagination. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in, and each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I will give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized that he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. There are several things that stood out to me in this passage. There was a note sheet in the lobby. I hope that you grabbed it. The notes will be coming up on the screen online. You can take a picture if something looks really good there on your phone. But let's start this morning. Number one, you never know which day God will move or which day God will use you. You never know which day God will move or which day God will use you. It's interesting. It says Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. This was a common part of their day. It was just one afternoon. It wasn't a special afternoon. It wasn't a high holiday of the Jewish faith and religion. It was one afternoon. And they went to the 3 o'clock prayer service. There were other prayer services throughout the day. Maybe they went to an earlier one. At the 3 o'clock prayer service, though, it says, as they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. When his friends got him ready, when his family got him ready, they didn't know that this was going to be the day that changed his life because he met the man Jesus through his apostles. They didn't know that. And I just want to tell you this morning, if you have been suffering in some way, if you have been suffering physically, if you have been suffering emotionally, if you have been suffering with a tormented past, if you have been suffering financially, and it just seems to go on, you never know which day God will move or which day God might use you. This miracle took place as a normal part of life and Peter and John walking with Jesus. Can you imagine a day when you are a normal part of your workday? A normal part of your home life. And that's the day God chooses to use you. You never know. But we need to be looking. We need to be ready. We need to be watching. And then we need to be obedient when prompted, because What if Peter and John would have got the prompting and then just said, oh, prayer meeting starting? But they were willing to obey. You never know. You never know if this, oh, hear me. You never know if this might not be your day. That's why I encourage people who have needs to come forward for prayer often, because you never know what day it's going to be. Number two, something else I learned. Second thing that stood out to me was this. Others were part of your miracle. Others are often part of your miracle. Someone brought the man. They were part of the miracle. Look at the verse again. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day, he was put beside the temple gate, the one called Beautiful, so he could beg from the people going to the temple. Many miracles in the Bible came about because of friends bringing friends to Jesus, or family bringing family to Jesus. Sometimes they couldn't physically bring the family member. They were ill, but they went to Jesus to entreat him to heal. Miracles happen often because people help people. And miracles happen because people allow others to help them. So I want to ask you this morning, who are you helping? Who are you helping? Who are you praying for? Who are you believing for? Who are you going to lay hands on? Who do you know that has a need? Who are you helping? Then I'm going to flip it. Who are you letting help you? Because too often, speaking from personal experience, too often, oh, I've got this. God and I, we've got this. We've got this. Oh, but others are often a part of your miracle. And sometimes your miracle doesn't take place because you don't allow others to be a part. I was going to share an old story, but I'm going to share a different story. I'm going to share a story from my life. After I found Jesus, I was working full-time. I'd gone to college for 1 year, and then I had dropped out of college for about 6 or 7 years. And I felt the Holy Spirit prompting me to go back to college, and I was going to go back to Oral Roberts University, private Christian college, for a degree in telecommunication. That's my first degree. Ministry is not my first degree. It's my second degree, and then leadership's my third degree. I got all these degrees. They don't really mean that much, except I took time to study. But going to Oral Roberts University, I hadn't been living with my parents, so I was on my own. I was going to have to pay for my education myself, whatever that was going to take. And my church, at that time, had a small scholarship program that they offered to students that were going to college, and I had approached my lead pastor, and I said, you know, I know that there's a scholarship program. I'm going to be leaving in September to go over to Oral Roberts University, feel that that's what I'm supposed to do. Is there any way the church can help? And they said, oh, well, we might be able to, Rick. Do you have any other resources? And I said, well, I've saved a little bit of money. No scholarships seem to be available to me. And my pastor was saying, okay, that's fine. Can your family help at all? And I made this statement. I said, oh, well, my dad said he'll pay for my first semester. And my pastor looked at me and he said, your dad said he would pay for your first semester. And I said, yes, but I'm not going to accept it because I want my dad was not a believer at this time. I want my dad to see how Jesus is going to meet my need. I want my dad to see that God can come through. And my pastor looked at me and he says, Rick, I think God is coming through and your dad is the source. Totally surprised me. Totally, dad's my source. He said, no, that's what I think. He said, there will be a small scholarship, but if your dad will pay for your first semester, accept it. Which I had to then humbly go back to my father and say, you know, Dad, I told you I wasn't going to take this money, that, you know, God and I had all these other things. And Dad wrote a check for me to take to school to pay for my first semester of college. Sometimes it's other people that are part of your miracle, and he was part of my miracle. That was a miracle. When I finished my education at Oral Roberts University through working and other things that came through. Dad and Mom sent some money, but they never paid for any more. I only owed $500, which was paid before graduation. That's a miracle. And part of the miracle came from other people, but specifically from my father. Not my heavenly father, my natural father. Let me just review. You never know which day God will move or which day God will use you. Two, others are often part of your miracle. Number three, many miracles happen after you take a step of faith. Many miracles happen after you take a step of faith. Let's pick it up in verse 4 again. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." And the lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazarene. Get up and walk." Now look at what the scripture says. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and began to help him up, or helped him up. Now, look at these words. I have them highlighted on the screen. As he did. Could you go to the next slide, please? Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and straightened. Those words, "as he did," means that there was faith being exercised by Peter. Peter began to lift him. The man began to position himself to get up. As he did. Sometimes your miracle is not going to take place till you take that step of faith and do what God is asking you to do, even before you see the results. I believe there's a lot of miracles that have not taken place because God said, "Do this," and you said, "Oh, I don't know, God. I don't know if that's your voice. I don't know if I should talk to that person. Maybe it's the devil that wants me to witness." You think the devil wants you to witness? Do you think the devil wants you to pray for someone's healing? Do you think the devil wants you to return the tithe so that God can bless it? There are many miracles that haven't been received. This happened in Jesus' ministry. In Luke 17, there were 10 lepers that approached Jesus. Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priests." They're standing there. They're still leprous. They're still standing there. They're leprous. But it says, as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. As Peter reached down, as he did, that's when the healing took place. There was another incident in John chapter 9, the man who was born blind. Jesus spit on the ground, made mud, smeared it on the man's eyes. "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam." So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Sometimes you've got to step out in faith, not knowing what God's going to do, if God's going to do something. But there are many miracles that are missed because we don't step out in faith. You never know which day God will move or which day God will use you. Others are often a part of your miracle. Many miracles happen after you take a step of faith. The fourth thing I saw in this passage is this. Number four, if God did that for this man, what will he do for me if I ask him? I believe that this story was captured by Luke, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we would step back and say, whoa, if God will do that for this man, what will he do for me if I ask him? Starting in verse 8, Peter had reached down. The guy had started to get up. Instantly, his legs and ankles were strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with him. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They were astounded. Whoa! What power is this? What kind of God is this? What was that name that they used? Because Peter said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." What power is in that name? We were singing about speaking the name of Jesus. What power is in that name? This story tells us some of the power that was in that name. Several years ago, I was about ready to preach this passage at my former church, the one in Kansas. And I've been reading the story, I've been studying the story, but I thought, I wonder physically what it would take for this miracle to happen. And I had a friend who was a physical therapist. He had worked on my shoulder. I had known him for a while. He was a great man in the community. Sherry and I knew his family. And so I went to breakfast with him. He was a nominal believer at this time, went to another church, and I said, I'm going to be talking about a story in the book of Acts. This man was lame from birth, and he is now over 40 years old, and he gets instantly healed by the apostles. The name of Jesus was used, and he's instantly healed. Could you tell me from a physiological, from a physical standpoint, as a physical therapist, what would have had to have happened in his body? And I read him the story. And so I said, okay, Jeff, that was his name, tell me, what would have to take place in his body for this healing to occur, for this man, lame from birth, to instantly be healed, to walk and to leap and to praise God? And I was astonished by the answer that Jeff gave me. I never expected him to tell me what he did. He said, beyond the creation of whatever physically was needed in bones, muscles, tendons, and sockets, the most incredible part of this miracle is what God did in this man's brain. I'm not quite understanding, but say, then he said, he told me about something called neuromuscular reeducation. Neuromuscular reeducation. Neuromuscular reeducation is what physical therapists do to train or retrain a limb to walk. Bones and muscles may be healed, surgery may have corrected things, but the brain has to be retrained. The muscles, the nerves, the spine, and the brain all have to be re-educated to work properly. That's why when a physical therapist is working on someone who has lost the ability to use a limb, such as this young man here, certainly younger than 40, but he lost the ability to walk, and he's working with a physical therapist, and the physical therapist is not just taking care of the body. The body is possibly fully re-healed. The muscles have been restored, but now the process of retraining the brain. Jeff said that the most impressive part of this miracle to him as a physical therapist was not that Jesus gave the man fully formed and restored legs and feet, but that the man was immediately able to walk and leap. He said that what took place on the neurophysical level was also a miracle, a powerful miracle, maybe the bigger miracle. He said that it is impossible for that man to immediately walk and leap if God would have only healed the body. Impossible for that man to walk and leap if he only had his body healed. But God took and did an incredible miracle. See, he says, as a physical therapist, when a patient comes into me after an accident or surgery and the body has been rebuilt, that person cannot walk right away. It takes weeks and months to retrain the brain, even though physically they are whole. He said, for someone who has never walked, who's been lame from birth, and now is over 40 years old, it is impossible for them to immediately walk. See, a baby, when they are learning to walk, they are not only developing the muscles, they're developing their brain. Walking is more about what takes place in the brain. The only way that this man would immediately walk and leap after being physically healed is for, listen to what he said, I'm quoting him now, for God to rewire his brain. Everything that he would have developed as a baby and a child in the training of the brain for him to be able to walk was instantly put into his brain at the exact same moment that it says instantly his legs and his feet were strengthened. God instantly gave his brain everything he needed to stand up, to rise up, to walk, to leap, and to praise God. That's what God did. God instantly put into his brain, into his spine, into his nerves, into his muscles, everything that he needed. And I believe that Luke chose this miracle, and it's been documented for us throughout the centuries. I believe if God will do that for this man, what will he do for me if I ask? Think about it. And I don't have time. In a couple weeks, I'm going to get into this. How many of you know that sometimes addictions, your brain needs rewiring? Depression, negative thoughts, your brain needs rewiring. God rewired a brain, gave this man everything that he needed, not only physically, but in his brain, his spine, his nerves, and his muscles in an instant. That is our God. That is your God. That is the God this morning that you are looking to meet your need. Let this miracle cause faith to rise. Number five. This isn't from the text. This is just me. Do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. That's my prayer. Do it again, Lord. I've heard this story. I see this story. Do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. Rewrite brains. Give muscles back to individuals. Or to this, it wasn't even given back. He gave him muscles he never had because he was born unable to walk. Do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. And I often read and pray John 14, 12 through 14. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works. This is Jesus talking, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it, so the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2 says this. This is a prayer that I've been praying. We're going to pray this scripture tonight at our revival prayer meeting. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. Lord, we have heard about them. We have heard about what you're doing in Latin America. We've heard about what you're doing here. We've heard about what you did in the past. We heard about, we have read about what you did in the time of the book of Acts when it was written in the early church. We have heard about it, Lord God. We stand in awe of what you did. Jeff, my friend, my physical therapist, stood in awe as I told him the story. And as we had this discussion, he said, that is the most incredible miracle that I could ever imagine as to what God did in that man. He stood in awe. But Habakkuk was praying, and we need to pray, Lord, repeat them in our day, in our time. Make these works known again. Will that be your prayer this morning? Will that be your prayer this morning? God would do that for him. What can God do for me? In the name of Jesus, if the name of Jesus is powerful enough to do that, his name is powerful enough for my need. Team, if you could make your way back to the platform, I'm just going to wind this down. Maybe I need to start approaching every day as if this might be the day that God might miraculously move in your life. What's your need? Could you wake up and say, could this be the day? Could this be the day? Could this be the day? Or maybe you could start your day, God, could this be the day you could use me? See, that last point, do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. I, in my mind and in my imagination, sometimes when I come in the sanctuary to pray or when I'm just here working on other things, I look at the front, because when we have our invitations, we invite people to come down front. We invite people to come and to receive prayer. In my mind and in my heart and in my mouth, I'm speaking, do it again, Lord. As the people were coming, as the people are praying, as they are stepping out in faith, do it again, Lord. Could this be our day? Maybe it's time some of you need to start allowing others to be part of your need and part of your miracle. Maybe today is the day you need to step out in faith and push through your fear. You need to step out and believe God for your healing. You need to step out in obedience for your miracle. I wrote some things down yesterday. Maybe you have a medical condition, an addiction, an emotional wound, or a haunted past. Could this be your day? Could this be your day? It's going to take a step of faith. It's going to take responding and letting someone else pray for you. Jesus loves you. His power is here to touch you. Will you step out and receive his touch today? What's God been speaking to you about through this message? Maybe you need to come down front for healing. Maybe you need to give your heart to Jesus for the first time or give it back to Jesus. Maybe you need today to receive prayer for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I've already been prayed for that. If you haven't received it yet, receive prayer again. Obey him regarding the things he's talking to you about. And maybe God is speaking to you about doing something for someone else, being a part of their miracle. Call them. Pray for them. Go and anoint them with oil if that's what you've been challenged to do. Share that impression that God has placed on your heart. Give to them in some tangible way. Many miracles require you to step out in faith. Will you today or this week step out in faith? And I'm going to say this. I want everybody's attention at home here. Step through your fear. As soon as you make a decision to do something, the enemy's going to come in and tell you why God's not going to do it, or how foolish you're going to look, or what it's going to be like if you come forward for prayer and God doesn't touch you at that time, and fear is going to come into your heart. Some of us need to step through our fear. I heard Joyce Meyer say this once in a message that Sherry and I were listening to. And she was just talking about sometimes how difficult it is to follow Jesus because it's going to make us uncomfortable. We're going to be doing things, going places, talking to people, praying for people, and we don't know what the results are going to be. Maybe we have to confront a negative situation. Maybe we have to begin to tithe, and it's fear-producing. And she said three words. And it was interesting that I heard this message at that time because there were some things that I wasn't doing because anxiety and fear had gotten into my heart. She said three words, do it afraid. Do it afraid. Do it afraid. Pray for that person, but I'm afraid. Pray for them. Give to that person. Return the tithe. Yes, but I'm afraid. What's that going to be to my finances? Do it afraid. I'm going to pray healing for someone. Do it afraid. Speak the name of Jesus over them. This morning, would you stand? I'm going to pray over you. The team's going to share a song. Lord, this morning, begin to speak to us, each one of us, what we need to do. To the one who has anxiety and fear about taking a step of faith. And when they make the decision to do it afraid, meet them, Lord God, and honor them. Because sometimes we got to take a step of faith before you move. Lord, as we think about this story throughout the week, as we think about the astonishing thing that you did in rewiring that man's brain, may faith rise in our hearts that we can believe, that we can believe. I'm going to encourage any of our prayer team members that are here to just find a place across the front. As this song is going on, if you're ready to take a step of faith, if you're ready to receive prayer, if you're ready to take a step of faith and give your heart to Jesus, give your heart back to Jesus, be prayed for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, if you're ready to ask the Holy Spirit to use you while this song is going on, slip out of your seat, come forward, find one of these individuals, let them pray for you. Anoint you with oil if that's what's needed. As the song is going on, would you begin to come forward? Would you lead us, please?
Thanks for joining us for this message from Columbus First Assembly. If this message has blessed you in any way, would you share it on your social media feeds so that others can be blessed also? If you would like to join us for an in-person service and you're close to us, we are in Columbus, Indiana, then our services start at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings and our church is located on the corner of 10th and Iowa. Once again, thanks for joining us. Look forward to having you join us again soon.